Thank you, Denbre. Hello, everyone. I'm going to keep my glasses on because then I can see you. The old me would have taken my glasses off, so I'm detached and I'm not looking at these faces. So thank you for your smiling faces. I'm going to ask my higher power to give me the words to say to you. So thank you, HP. So you are getting now, because I haven't got a clue what I'm going to say. The only thing I thought about is I thought about my sponsor. Whenever she's asked, you know, to do a share, she always does an acronym. And I was thinking now what the acronym would be. And my higher power said, no other way. Wow. No other way but now. And a month ago, I suffer from rheumatoid arthritis. And usually I get a flare-up in one hand or the other. And me, I go to work when I have a flare-up in one hand, all bandaged up and everything else, and use just one hand. And I just have to laugh at myself. And then I was at work a month ago, and I got the flare-up in both hands, because HP says she's not listening with one hand. Let me give her both hands. Why not, right? And it was very interesting because I live on my own, just me and HP. So having no hands to work was a very interesting exercise. And it reminded me during that time, because I couldn't do anything. And the pamphlet just for today, I couldn't even apply that to me just for today. I couldn't even think about having a whole day and not being able to do anything. So I was thinking, higher power, just for now, I can't do this. And then when I could, I had a meeting with my sponsor, and I was telling her, and I went, you know, this just for today sometime, you know, it doesn't even apply. I went, I couldn't even do just for today. I had to do just for now, and just for now. And then that evening, after I finished the conversation with my sponsor, I thought, I wonder what the topic for this convention is. I get some smiles, and I looked at it, and it said, now. And I thought, wow, is that how you wanted me to get the message, to pass it on, that experience, you know, of now? And of course, the other now is the time that my higher power wanted me to speak to you. Denbre asked me last year. I booked my flights and I was coming over. And then my flights got cancelled. And of course, me, I've said yes to service. By hook or by crook, expression in English, I'm going to get there. Right, never mind that my flight was cancelled. I tried other flights and I tried everything else, and then other things were happening in my life. I'm thinking, no, I'm going to get there. And then eventually I had enough recovery to go, higher power, you're trying to tell me something. How could you not let me go and do service? Because I, you know, never say no to service, right? And I hear like the voice of my sponsor saying, it's in higher power's time, not your time, Anita. And I thought, maybe. So then I wanted to give plenty of notice, so I let Denbre know, and I went, I don't think I'm going to make it. And then comes all the feelings that has already been mentioned. You know, guilt, and I didn't try hard enough, what will they think of me, and all sorts. And then during that time that the convention was, I got ill. And I thought, thank you, HP, because of course he knows more than I do. My awareness is just limited to my human mind. I don't know what he's got planned for me. So of course then I was asked again, you know, this year. And 2 weeks ago on Thursday, at this time, I woke up in the resuscitation room in accident and emergency with the doctors telling me I'm not going to make Thursday night. And I thought, ooh. Anyway, when I realized that, well, that's all I thought. When I realized that, all I was concerned about was, he said, can you give me your next of kin? And I went, I haven't got one. And I thought, they're not going to take higher power's address as the next of kin, because I don't even know where he lives with me. And that was an interesting conversation, because he went, you don't realize how ill you are. We need to contact someone for you. And I went, there is no one. Of course, there's no concept with people that, you know, this person doesn't have anyone. And my manager, who I have had a very interesting relationship with, we are not on the same wavelength. We don't like each other. We don't work the same way. And I can go on, you know. And she went, I'll give my name. And I'm thinking, really? I went, higher power? Oh, okay. Mia was out of it, you know. And then they did all these tests, and I'm hooked up to it. I won't bore you with the medical details. It's not for here. And then after the test, the doctor goes, I'm going to transfer you to Harefield Hospital, which is a long way from where I live in Luton, in sunny Luton. You would only know about Luton if you've gone to the airport there, otherwise you wouldn't know about it, so, and that's okay. And I thought, I'm not going to Harefield, I don't know anyone there. I know I may not have anyone here, but at least I know some people. So I said, and he went, I'm getting an ambulance to transfer you to Harefield. And I went, no. And he just stopped in his tracks. It's like we do what the doctors say, generally. And I went, no, I'm not going. I went, you don't understand. I need this test doing, and it needs to be done straight away. And I went, no, I'm not going. I'm staying here. Keep me in, you know, in this hospital. And eventually he had to agree with a proviso that if I get worse, then he's going to transfer me immediately. I went, yeah, I'll agree to that one. Anyway, and I didn't know why, apart from the fact that I didn't know anyone, but I don't know many people where I live either, why I did not want to go to Harefield and have this test. So it's to do with my heart. If I have the test, I know I would not be here. So I mean, never mind, I'm dying and I'm going to be going on and do this, you know. So, but the reason why that happened was during the night, my temperature went up dangerously high. So if I had been in that hospital having this test done, I would have had sepsis and definitely be a goner. So my high power saved me. Anyway, long story short, we tried, I had to tell them, look, put cold compressors, give me paracetamol. I had to tell the medical people what to do to save me. Right. Yes. Anyway, then I managed to get through the night, and I went, brilliant. Now I need higher power's help, because these doctors don't know anything. So when I woke up, I sent a text to my sponsor, and I said, I'm in cardiac ward, prayers needed. That's all I say, and she's got you know, a chain of people who prayed for me. And when the doctors came round and they went, it's not your heart, so I'm seeing by a cardiologist. And he goes, it's not your heart, it's your chest. I'm discharging you. So then I've gone from, and I went, oh, thank you, HP. So I'm thinking he's going to transfer me to someone else. But long story short, he's sending me home. So even the person in charge going, oh, after you are going to be in for over a week, now you're going home. And I go, thank you, HP. And I'm going home, you know, can't do anything or anything like that, but I just ask for prayers. And then little by little, I was able to, you know, brush my teeth and, you know, I won't bore you, you know, with all the details. And then comes, on Tuesdays, my flight to come to Munich. And I had an appointment with my doctor on the telephone. So they said, you know, I needed to go in and do something. I went, I can't. I'm going to Munich. They went, you don't understand. You can't travel. And I'm thinking, what do they know, right? They told me I was going to die. I'm still here. What do they know? So I'm at the train station, and my doctor rings me three times. I need you back at the surgery. And I went, you're not listening to me. I'm on the train. I'm going to Gatwick, and I'm going to Munich. Anyway. At that time, it was a, you know, what do I do next? What do I do now? You know, I get ready first and I get the taxi and I get, you know, and I get to Gatwick. I didn't know whether I was going to make it here or not. Even yesterday, I was thinking, Saturday evening isn't here yet. If I'm meant to be here and do that, and obviously, you know, I must be. Even I just said to Denver just before she introduced me, and I went, it's here and I'm doing it. And this fellowship is what has taught me about having a higher power who, you know, when I am powerless is where my power is. When I could not do anything, my higher power, that's when I opened the door to, you know, to my higher power. Because before this fellowship, I didn't have a higher power at all. In fact, at my first meeting, when they started talking, reading the steps and mentioned God, I didn't think, I didn't hear of your understanding. I'm thinking, this is a religious crap thing. I'm out of here. And I was out of there and I wasn't going to go back. But then my life was just, I had my first panic attack at work. And here I am, I've got a job that I manage thousands of people. So having a panic attack is not quite the right thing, you know, to be happening. As I went, and I remember at that first meeting, there was a lady who'd been in Al-Anon for 25 years, and I went, it obviously doesn't work. If it takes 25 work years and it's still not working, what do I want to be in here for? I haven't got 25 years, you know. I just want to get, you know, the person who's drinking to stop drinking. 25 years, I haven't got that. And the other thing she's an atheist and doesn't believe in God. So then I was thinking, so it can't be a religious cult then if she's there and she doesn't believe in God. So I went back. And then I heard about, you know, going for 6 meetings before, you know, you decide whether this meeting is for you or not, you know, in Al-Anon. And I go, okay, by the 7th meeting, they are going to give me a do's and don'ts on how to get this person to stop drinking. So I have to go for the 6 meetings. And as we know, you know, by that time, you know, things, despite myself, have been seeping in, and, you know, and I stayed. And they talked about, you know, getting a sponsor. I've mentioned a sponsor that I do have. They talk about getting a sponsor. But the thing that I like the best in Al-Anon was take what you like and leave the rest. And here's me. Oh, yeah, I get that. I left 99% of Al-Anon and I kept what suited me right. So getting a sponsor, I know. Why would I want to talk to someone and open up to someone? I never knew how to talk. It's been mentioned, I don't know how to talk to someone. I don't know how I'm feeling. I don't know, you know, about, you know, those things. And, you know, the fear was more they wouldn't like me if they know the real me. I didn't know the real me. And now I've learned that, you know, learn about faith and fear is like fear. You know, faith is fear that I said is prayers. That's why I was so fearful about, I haven't got a clue what I'm going to talk about. And I thought if I do a prayer and then I don't know what's come out of my mouth and what's going to come out of my mouth again. So I kept going. And when I met my higher power was in, I went to a convention in Greece. I was just coming from walking on the beach by myself, because although there are plenty of people, look at all these people here, right? I go to convention, plenty of people, and Nita will stay on her own because she's not going to let anyone in, right? Because I'm okay, you know, I'm doing okay, I'm here. That's the most important, that's the 1% I'm there. I don't want to look at the other 99%, right? So, and this lady just went, oh, I'm doing a meditation thing. Would you like to join? And I look around and there's these chairs and they are all empty. And I go, oh, poor lady, she's got no one here for her meditation. And here, you know, biggest people pleaser ever. Oh, yes, I've never been able to meditate. I didn't want to go, you know, through meditation thing. Anyway, then you can imagine, isn't it? I sat there, and then I realized it was way before time it was supposed to start, and then it filled up with these people with meditation. I thought no one had turned up, and I thought, I still never see that I get things wrong, right? And so anyway, it was in that meditation that I had a spiritual awakening. And so my higher power came to me, dressed as this man in this white gown, right? Anyway, I was very disturbed by that. I couldn't wait to get back to say to my sponsor to talk about it. So I got back and I went, what do you think that was? And she went, what do you think that was, Anita? And I knew damn well. And I went, why did he have to be a man? No disrespect to the male in here, right? All in my life, people have caused me problems were male. So why did he have to be a man? Of course, she goes, Anita, he doesn't have to be, can be female, can be whatever you want it to be. And I went, well, I can't. He came as a man. Now if I go as a woman, he's going to get upset. He's not going to be, you know, all these things, you know, that goes on. So during the time my higher power has been male, has been female, has been something else, and I've been everything. But little by little, I have been given, like, there is no way that there isn't a higher power, right? And that's why, you know, that's why I'm here today. I arrived in Munich on Tuesday night after a long journey. I finally made it, and Deborah was putting me up. Never met her before except online, and I missed the message to say I'm on the third floor, and there I've got, and I've got there. And I'm thinking, where are you? I'm going up, and she's in her pyjamas coming down. And I just took one look at her, and I saw what I see from, you know, a screen, you know, and I feel the love. The very first time I felt love in an Al-Anon meeting was on an online meeting. It was a time when a friend of mine had a child, I won't bore you medical stuff again, was, you know, going to go through an operation that he wasn't going to survive. And I went on this online meeting in Scotland. There were 77 people there, and I just went there to ask them to pray for this child. He's all right, by the way, after 77 people prayed, for the child. They thought he was having a brain operation. He wasn't going to either speak or he was going to be blind. And when I got the message from the mum said he woke up and went, when am I going to get the present you told me you were going to give me after my operation? And the mum goes, he can see me and he can speak, and today's fully recovered. And, you know, there is no way that, that higher power, however we want to know him, or, you know, that it works. And time and time again, I have experience of that. When I was in A&E, when my hands weren't working, and I'm thinking, and my colleagues at work is ringing me and go, Anita, can you come and pick up your bag? We are locking up. And I'm thinking, my hands aren't working. And they go, but we've got to lock up. That's what I was getting. And then I thought, my high power, and I went, who do I contact here? And there was someone, I managed to get my phone out of my pocket, and I'm dialing her. And as I'm dialing her, she's walking past where I am waiting in A&E, because she's working in A&E. She never works in A&E. She was made to work in A&E that day. You tell me that there isn't a higher power that works, and she's going by just when I'm ringing her. And I showed her my phone, and there's her name on it. And I went, I'm calling you. And she's going, what are you doing here? And then, you know, she looked after me. I mentioned about sponsor, but I also mentioned that, you know, I didn't have one. And I have to tell you how I chose my sponsor, right? So the first time I decided, because I kept hearing people saying, you know, you have to get a sponsor, you have to get... And so just to shut some people up, because some people are really like on and on, right? And I just shut them up, I better get a sponsor. So in my group, there was this lady, she was 84 years old, and I went, she's going to be my sponsor, because she won't be my sponsor for long, right? I'm going to choose that one. So this is where I was at that time. And this is how I used to live my life as well. So I said, at the end of the meeting, we always go to the toilet. So I said to myself, we are going to the toilet. If she finishes in the toilet before me, I'm going to ask her. I mean, there is no way. She's never finishing the toilet before me. You know, I was young, sprightly. I go in, do my business, get out, right? And she's always like, you know, in there. Blow me down. We both go in the toilet together. Next thing I hear, a flush, and my knickers are still around my ankles. I still haven't finished my business. And she's held the door and she's washing her hands. How the heck is that possible? But what comes next? Of course, I have to ask her. It's a deal, is a deal, right? I'm not going to upset. I have to ask her to be my sponsor. But that's okay. She won't be for long. And then, oh, she'll say no, right? She's all and rickety. What would you want to do with this young one who never, you know, speaks in the meeting and thinks she knows better than everyone else, right? So anyway, I finished and I'm following her. And I went, can I ask you to be my sponsor? And I'm walking off thinking she's going to say no. She went, yeah, we'll meet up whenever. And I thought, shit, excuse my French. She said yes. Anyway, I met with her and I thought she was going to tell me, you know, what I need to do. And she gave me the leaflet, sponsorship, what it's all about. And I'm thinking, Jesus. Now she's not going to tell me what I have to do. I have to go and find out for myself and learn and do all that. No wonder I never wanted, you know, a sponsor. Aren't they supposed to help me out, you know, to make life easier for me? That's what, you know, they said, they told me. You know, people rave about, you know, their sponsors, how helpful they are. They are friends with them. And I'm thinking, hey. Anyway, I met with her once. And then I lost my job and I had to move. And I go, brilliant. And I said to her, and I went, I'm moving. And I went, you won't be able to sponsor me. She went, oh, yes, I can. You know, we can do over the telephone. And I'm thinking, heck no. I hate speaking over the telephone. You know, I like, you know, face to face. So anyway, I move up. And of course, they don't know me in Luton. So I moved to Luton. I thought, they don't know that I haven't got a sponsor or whatever, things like that. So I didn't have one, and I didn't want to get one. But you know what they badger me there was? Go to an open. Every time I share, it's like, you know, about these alcoholics and this, they've messed up my life and everything else, right? And they go to an open AA meeting. What the heck do I want to do that for? Why do I want to associate myself? I can't breathe the same there as they do. What would they teach me in an open AA meeting? And at my group meeting, there was this woman. She ran the show. That's the kind of meeting I went to. And she told me, in fact, when I first went there, I went to, in the UK, GSO is the service office. I went to GSO to say, you need to go and sort out the Luton meeting because they don't know how to run, you know, an Al-Anon meeting. And this lady just looks at me at GSO and went, Anita, just go there for 6 meetings before you decide whether they are. I went, no, you don't understand. I'm not a newcomer. I know how, you know, how Al-Anon meetings should be run. They don't run it like that. You've got to go and sort them out. And then, you know, she wouldn't have it. You know, she was like, you know, just go to 6 meetings. And then she carried on with her business, like, meeting is over. I'm thinking, rude, so-and-so. Anyway, then I thought, it's okay. I'll go to my sponsor. She'll sort them out. My sponsor said to me, what do you think GSO does? I went, I haven't got a clue. Don't they sort things out over there? Anyway, that's when I was introduced to the manual, you know, to learn about how Al-Anon works. You know, today that's my best daily reader, you know, I have it with me. Anyway, then I thought, okay, so, you know, I just kept going. And I remember the first time I said, can I go to, we call them district meeting over there. And we go to district meeting. And that's the way, you know, that's the way it was. But anyway, and then one day they said, we need a group rep. And I'm thinking, don't look at me. There were three people there, and because they just told me, they went, you are going to be the group rep. And I went, not this one. At this meeting, I've got to sort them out. No way am I doing that. So then I said, why can't you be? And I went, I'm a dual member. I can't, so it'll have to be you. And I thought, oh, Jesus, okay. So then I thought, because I have to do things right, and perfectionism, we talked about perfectionism yesterday, is what I'm aiming for. Where I got that from, because the time I came second in my class, I got a beating for not coming first. So the message is you have to be first at everything and perfect at everything. And I thought, well, I better think about getting a sponsor. Anyway, I went to the district meeting and they introduced you to your area delegate. She sat sort of, you know, next to me, and she told me what I needed to do. And at the end, because I know about gratitude, I was very grateful. And I said to her, thank you very much for looking after me or whatever. And then I heard myself, freaking hell, saying, would you be my sponsor? And then I went, oh, no, I didn't mean it. I mean, I've never met this woman before today. And, you know, in Al-Anon, they always say, you know, look at someone who, you know, you've heard them share, you know, you have an affinity with them, and, you know, then you ask them. So I said, I don't know where that came from. Well, I know from my mouth. Now I know from her. And then she went, we'll talk about it at the end of district meeting. Then she took me on the bench under a tree. She went, yes, I'll be your sponsor. And I went, no. I said, no. Anyway, we went home and she sent me a message and she went, this is higher power led. And I thought, okay. And to this day, she's the one. She's still my sponsor years later. She's gone through everything. She's the one who prayed for me. On Wednesday morning, I texted her to say, I've woken up in Munich, I'm looking outside to a river, and she texts me back. She went, well, that's a change. She went, a few days ago you couldn't do anything. And I went, yeah, and I just want to say thank you for your prayers. And for the first time ever, I've come to this convention and I haven't, you know, the old me. If I'm asked to do a share, right, I'll get all these books. I'm going to do a thesis on the subject because it has to be the perfect thing. I have to say something that you are going to go, wow, look at her. This is really, really something, right? And I was cured of that one day when I went to a convention and they were talking upstairs, like, you know, at the table. I thought, oh, I'll go and say hello. And they went, Anita, here's your seat. And I went, what do I want to sit there for? These are for the people who are, you know, who are speaking. And they went, yes, you are. You said you were going to speak, you know. And I went, did I? Totally forgot about it. And of course you can't say no. So that day I had no prep. Was the first time that I had an experience. Because afterwards people are going, because the person sat next to me went, you didn't know you were speaking? And I went, no. And she went, well, where did all that come from? And I haven't got a clue. I can't remember what I said or what happened. And then, because people were going on, this was really good what you said. And I went, you have to remind me what I said. And then I thought, oh, okay. Is this what they talk about, the head and the heart, right? And I'm thinking, So from then on, I don't, prepare to. And also, you know, doing a share, it has been a privilege for me to be asked, and I do it for me because I know I feel better. Look, it got me here. If I wasn't going to be here, I'd still be in my bed feeling unwell and not being able, feeling sorry for myself. Although I've learned that I've lived on my own for a very long time, this fellowship has taught me that I can be alone without being lonely. I never understood that before, because now my higher powers you know, is always with me. It's the same with convention. This is me. I would like the timetable. Please, can you send me the timetable beforehand, right? And at home, I will plan my journey from the time I leave home to the time I leave the convention. I'll highlight the meetings, especially if there are big conventions. You have like the choice of many meetings. I'll highlight all the ones I'm going to go to and everything else. And I would not deviate from that. Never mind if you tell me, you know, let's go for a walk. Oh no, I've got to go to this meeting. Oh, can we go for a walk now? Oh, you're going to this meeting. Oh, you know, this time I didn't know, you know, I didn't have a timetable. I got a timetable yesterday just because I was in my room and I thought, I can't remember when the next meeting is. Is it 4 o'clock or 4:30? And then I had to get out of my room. And then I thought, better go and get a timetable. Because my default mode is extremes. So I either do what I did and highlight, or no, I'm not going to have a timetable at all. I just rock up, you know, whenever. And that has been the biggest job my sponsor has had to do with me, is teaching me about the 50 shades of grey between, you know, black or white. And I will tell you, and I can't believe it, I'll say, this. I did this, and it didn't work. And she went, what other options did you have, Anita? And I went, I didn't have any other options. That's the only thing I had to do. And I went, you know, it's either yes or no. You know, there was no maybe. There was no I'll get back to you, or let me think about this. And the only time she was relating it to a seesaw, because I mentioned, I went, the seesaw, you know, there's one end and the other end. And she says to me, what's in between, Anita? And I could not believe, I never knew what was in the middle. So she had me go, next time you go to a kindergarten, go and look at a seesaw. And, you know, we met up for coffee with some of the people from the fellowship, and it was raining. And I went, I must go and see the seesaw. And I looked at that seesaw for the very first time, and I'm thinking, freaking hell, there's a pivot in the middle. And I've gone on seesaws with my friends, you know, children and everything else like that. Physically, never saw that bit in the middle. Anyway, now I've learned, you know, there's another option. And then once I got that, she went, what's the third option? That day I got so angry with her, and I went, when is it going to finish, you know? Now I want a third option. Well, how many more? Anyway, now I've learned that there are as many options as things, and things can change. It's like I got ready with a clothing, because sometimes now I just let my hair power choose my clothing as well. But this time I thought, oh, I better think, because I might forget to bring, you know, something or other. So I chose all my clothing that I was going to wear for this weekend, because I don't want to bring my big suitcase. But I've learned, then the night before we were coming here, and I thought, let me just have a look at it. And I opened it up and I went, what on earth did I pack those dresses for? And I thought, oh, at that time I thought I'll wear some boots. And of course, and then I didn't wear any boots. And I'm thinking, these are not going to be any good. So now I have learned what matters now, won't matter in the next few minutes, will be different. And that's why now I can go in the now of a time in the past, but I don't stay there. I can go in the now in the future, because I have to plan, you know, like I have to plan that I've got to go back on Tuesday morning, so I can't just leave it and miss my flight. But I don't have, you know, to know how I'm going to get there or whatever, just that it's there. And the most important thing that I've learned is that no matter what happens, my higher power is never going to send anything to me that I can't handle, even not using my hands, even dying. Or because I was thinking, yeah, if it happens, you know, if I'm not meant to be there, I'm not meant to be there. Because I went, it was my birthday on Wednesday, I went to the Scottish meeting. It was the first time I was able to have a shower, get dressed and put my camera on, because before then I was going every morning from my bed with camera off, and I told them what had happened. And the chairperson at the end said, your higher power obviously has a job for you to do. And I went, hell yes, I've got to go and speak to Grenada, you know, in Grenada. That's why, you know, I didn't die then. But all I want to say is I don't know how long I've got, you know, but it's made me, I am so grateful for every moment that I have, even more so now. It's like, I don't know whether I'll still be here tomorrow. The one thing that I learned when I can now let people in, I've had lovely conversations with people I've never met before. I've only met on the screen. And deep, we talked about intimacy earlier on, intimate conversations with people. And I sit here, I'm standing even, and I look at all of you, and I, you know, some of you I've never met before, even I haven't spoken, but now I feel the love because I have learned to love myself. That was the biggest, hardest thing that my sponsor had to work with me. You know, she called me her friend and everything else. I went, you're not my friend, you're my sponsor. I mean, today I call her my friend. I've learned what love is. It's like, you know, we're talking about in a workshop earlier about conflict. It's like I can have conflict with someone with love, you know. And so I just want to say thank you very much. I won't take any more time because I know it's raffle, and that's one of the most important things for me. I don't know about you in a convention, so I won't take raffle time, but I want to express my gratitude to you. First time I'm here, I have enjoyed every moment of it. It's not over yet, but and I'm grateful for the committee for putting this on. I'm grateful to, you know, to all of you who just say hello when I'm, you know, when I'm about. And more importantly, I'm just grateful for my higher power to give me this opportunity to talk to you. As I say, I haven't got a clue what I've said to you, but it doesn't matter. I feel a lot better. I don't know about you. Thank you.